this is Rob Stone from Fox Sports.
Hey guys, this is Cole Eicher.
Hi, I'm Neil Collins.
You are listening to the Unused Substitute.
The Unused Substitute.
And you're listening to the Unused Substitutes.
Get off the pitch!
Hey there, little Red Riding Hood, I...
Ball's going to bounce. Dennis Free in the box. Bicycle kick! Goal! Rowdies! What a play! What a shot! And it's 1-0 Rowdies!
Good evening, everybody. It is 8:06 on Wednesday night. You're listening to the Unused Substitutes live on Radio St. Pete, part of the Beautiful Game Network and sponsored by Roughneck Scarves. And as always, having some technical difficulties, but I promise, I swear, I will release an unredacted transcript of anything that we talked about before this stream connected. It was beautiful. It was nice. It was great. And tonight I'm joined by the president of the UK. My co-host, the one and only Stephen Cundiff. Stephen, how you doing?
And in no way did he pressure me to release those documents. No, anyways, no, I'm doing great. Obviously, nobody's been paying attention to soccer over the last 24 hours leading into this show. So,
Liverpool played MK Dons in the League Cup today. Like, what else was going on? Spurs crashed out on penalties to Colchester. What do you mean there's nothing going on in soccer?
And Swansea lost to Watford 2-1, even though we weren't playing. We were playing a pretty, like, C lineup. It was at Watford, but still, that's... embarrassing, but it's also like we knew we didn't care about that. I think even Potter himself, who's the manager, Graham Potter, I think he even had said like visually, it's like this isn't a priority for us with the start of the league season that we've had right now. This isn't a priority. So it was kind of like, oh, hey, but at least Club Lyon is still kicking butt in Liga MX. So
is he related to Harry Potter, by the way?
Ha ha ha! You and everybody else making that joke.
Is he the manager who lived?
At the rate that managers go through Swansea City, that's yet to be determined, but we'll see.
Before we get started, we got something new we're gonna do. And actually, even after I thought of this, I thought of something else new. I didn't have time to get in touch with the person to do this, so we might double up on this next week. But I finally, in a fit of having nothing to do on a Sunday morning and having the house to myself, got up and actually I may have done this even on Saturday. No, I think it was Sunday. Got up and tinkered around with the perks and the stuff for our wonderful, beautiful Patreons. No quid pro quo with them, but I came up with a new thing for our $10 a month and higher. That's we have a decent number of subscribers there, so I wanted to put one out there. Every week, one will be named, and if we ever end up with like more than four or five, then we might double up and have multiple on an episode. That's okay. That would be the goal. We'll get the executive producer credit, inspired by me giving my wife executive producer credit for bringing me headphones last week at Shamrock. Tonight, this show is brought to you by our executive producer, David Claybo. I really hope I said that right. I'm sure he'll tell me if I didn't. Please do. I'm used to messing up names. I'm a middle school teacher.
Yes, thank you, David, for all the support. Now, I just, because it does mean a lot. It means a lot to the show, and it means a lot to us personally that we have that kind of backing. So if you do like what we do week in and week out, actually becoming a patron actually really, really does help with the cost of running all of this stuff. So yeah, please consider it very much. I mean, you can really make a you can make a donation on a month. It's a monthly basis with Patreon, and you can make it pretty much for whatever you want, right, Matt?
Like, yeah, there's like established like levels, but you can put in like there's people who've done like $1 or $2 a month, and honestly, yep. I love those people. Like every little bit helps.
I think that's honestly, I think I did like 2 or 3 or something like that. Like I think it was just when you guys first started,
right?
So. And seriously, so any little bit helps because it helps us keep the cost of the website down and things of that nature. So it means more, it means less out of pocket for us, which is the big deal that we're trying to avoid.
Wait, so you paid us money and now you're the co-host?
That is the truth. At $2 a month for like 2 or 3 years.
Ladies and gentlemen, I regret to announce that we are going to have to open an official inquiry. All right, but
and
no,
you said there was no quid pro quo.
I meant to say there was no squid to go.
Oh yeah,
this was not a takeout seafood place. But what I was gonna do, and I just kind of hit on putting this together and the other day. One of the other things we have in there for the $10 a month patrons is the ability to submit questions, topics, stuff for the show. So what I want to do is. Once we've picked the person for the next week, like a couple days in advance, hit them up with a question. Like, is there something they want us to talk about? Is there a topic they want to see, listen to us debate? I mean, no one wants to see us, let's be honest. As I sit here, as we're watching each other, although I'm managed to get my face off camera.
Not even in the screen.
I know. I still need to find my little tripod. My camera is over here sitting on top of the Cal Ripken autographed baseball
nice and
case.
Centered and looking lovely with a little blue glow from the computer screen, and you're not even in frame.
I added to my my scarf wall, by the way. You see that?
Charleston, Date Brigade, Flamingos. What is that? Providence City.
Yeah.
Bohemians, though I'm not sure which one that is.
Baltimore, the old Baltimore Bohemians.
And then which one is the... Well, obviously, it's Charleston Battery. What's the one on the left there?
The far left?
Yeah.
Over by the Red Bull case?
I see one song.
The one song, that's Louisville. Louisville City, our upcoming opponent. Maybe I should take him down. Oh, that might be giving them. And then way over next to the Flamingo one, you probably can't see it, is Chattanooga FC.
Oh, yeah, that's I can't see that from this angle.
Yeah, it's their 10th season scarf. But what I'm going to do is kind of hit them up in advance.
For what it's worth, everybody, the wall behind me is all the Ralph's Mob scarves hanging up. So that's kind of cool.
Hold on here. We've got the Scoundrels, the Casuals, the Podcast, the Mob Pride scarf from this year. I really should talk right into the mic. That would make things a lot better. We have a habit. And then I think I've got one of the, I've got the Rowdy's Bolton scarf. And then the old original FC Tampa Bay.
Yeah, meanwhile, I've got 8 Ralph's Mob scarves and 2 Sons of Pirates scarves. It's just one solid rack of nothing but Ralph's Mob. Because that's what I am, that's who I love, and that's I used to be in charge of.
I've got a couple extras. I've got the Burn, Destroy, Wreck, and Kill sitting around here. I lost the Where You Go, We Will Follow, like, after the first game that season. I always wanted to try and get one back, and I never did. Anyway...
We only bring this up because we're considering having the visual chatting feature that Uber has right now, and maybe finding a way to introduce that into everybody. So we're kind of giving an idea of what it is that we are looking at when we're doing the show together here over the internet. So,
and I'm honestly thinking if we do that, I'm going to find some way to put like a green screen behind me and do some like special effects or something. Not super difficult. Either that or one of the big, the thing Neil stands in front of for the post-game interviews where it's got, like, the logos and the sponsors and stuff.
Well, I mean...
I'm going to put our logos and just, like, the patrons' names on there, too.
No, what you got to do is we got to get, like, a night photograph of Al Lang Stadium and make it look... And do, like, a green screen or something. And make
live
it look
on
like
location.
We're just broadcasting right from the stadium.
But the ones where you can, like, look at it and tell that it's just being green screened in and they're just, you know, looking out over it.
But that'd be cool, right?
That would be
like
cool.
We could do it from the look of where the, like, handicap seating area type is from right as soon as you walk into the midfield entrance with the stadium in the backdrop there. That would be the view that I would want to look at and that we could just green screen that in behind both of us.
All right, so next home game, the Indy game, we got to get in early, like right when they open the doors, and we're taking this picture and we're doing this. I'm here for this.
There you go.
All right, but getting back to this, you guys who are our $10 and up sponsors, and I believe we've got four, maybe five right now. I will contact you personally, and you know, you have the ability to submit questions or topics to discuss. We'll make that one of our segments, and like before we do the preview and things like that, and we'll go forward from there. So we're gonna try and spice this up a little bit, patrons. If you didn't get the email, I've already gotten some responses from it, but we did send out a survey. Would you like to take a survey? A survey about just everything. So not only do you get your name in here, and we'll put the name in the show notes. We'll put the name in the tweet announcing the show, all that kind of stuff. If we have your Twitter handle, and I think everyone's got one, we can throw those out there too. You have some impact and input and impact on the direction of the show, the site, the bench, all that kind of stuff going forward. Speaking of the show, we should really talk about the soccer. Producer David would like it if we talked about the soccer. Because yeah, right. The Rowdies did the soccer really good last weekend. They were really good at the soccer.
It is. And it got us all excited because that's what got us all on the show producing part is because now we're all just like, everybody's energized because, hey, the Rowdies absolutely destroyed this weekend. And it was amazing to watch.
All right. Walk us through it. What was the result? What did you see? What stood out to you? What was your take on the night?
So Rowdies won 6-1. We scored 4 goals in the first half. Now, I haven't consulted with you, but I believe that's what the most we've done in a half. No, it's not the most we've done in a half. It ties it, I think. But
yeah, probably.
It ties the half that we played in San Antonio. So because I think that game was 4-3 at halftime, though
right,
the Rowdies
right.
were winning. So so it doesn't quite break a record in that context, but it's still one of the best and most important games we've played in terms of goal scoring, at the very least at home. So, and it rivals a couple of the games. I think it was the 2010 Baltimore game, the last game of the season. I think that game was like 6-3 or something like
that.
So,
yeah, I had thought for a while that this might be the first, and Mike from the team and I were talking about it. I think it was the first 6-goal game, and then I was like, wait a second. I knew that. I knew that one at the end was high scoring. The end of that first season.
Yeah,
I remember that. I didn't remember, so I went back, looked it up, and
the infamous with interim coach Perry Vanderbeck, and all of a sudden this team that had been really bad all year just like unloaded on Baltimore. Of course, I think Baltimore folded after that. But
yeah,
poor guys.
I mean, technically, Rowdies killed Crystal Palace, Baltimore. Rowdies killed the Minnesota Stars. Because then I don't think they officially ever liquidated, but they were purchased and rebranded as Minnesota United after the Rowdies beat them in the 2012 Soccer Bowl.
We killed the Strikers because we literally owned it.
We bought the Strikers.
Which is sad. Let's not. I want to preface that or recap that or provide a little summary to that. We're not happy of that. The Strikers folded and that we bought the brand and that the stadium no longer exists a couple of years later. We're just stating it as a matter of fact.
It's one of those things, like, if you ever read 442, they usually have, every now and then they'll have these articles like, you know, the world's craziest rivalries. And I'm like, this has to get mentioned. Right? Like, it's our oldest, biggest rival, and we bought the naming, and now it's Bill Edwards, not even us anymore. Bought the IP at auction, no less. Not even like, you know,
on eBay, right?
There was some kind of online thing for it. I don't think there was some kind of online auction set up.
Yeah.
And literally because no one else bid on it.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he got it for like, what, $500 or something weird, like something obscenely something low like that. Still want to see him come back someday.
So either way, it was the biggest win we've had in a long time. We've managed to kill a lot of teams in the process of beating them really big. And so now we are looking at Bethlehem, who are obviously not going away. So thank God that's not happening. But we did crush them. And so when you're looking at this game, what went right? What went really right? How did we get 6? Especially when you take it into context of what happened a couple days beforehand.
On Ottawa. And off the field.
going. Yeah, right. Exactly. So Neil puts a challenge out to the team, obviously. And Martin, from what we understood, put a little challenge out to the guys, too. Ginzotti has a part to play in this as the team captain, where it was Neil had to watch the game from the press, from the suite.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, let's win one for the gaffer type deal. It is the kind of gist that we heard from just about everybody involved.
And by the way, shout out to Martin Patterson for using the phrase the gaffer in the halftime interview.
Yes. But so obviously they went out with a chip on their shoulder and they made an effort to saying, let's go out there and let's smash some goals in and let's get a victory here. And I think that's the biggest thing. Obviously, like I said, the Ottawa game, we talked about this only briefly because it was a live show last week with immediate reaction. The Ottawa game obviously was trash because it was a lot of players, not all of them playing in their natural positions. A lot of them, a couple new faces, in fact. And you could tell they weren't connecting passes very well. They weren't, their positioning was off all over the field, quite frankly. And we almost escaped with a point anyways. But it was crazy to go from a game where we had zero shots on goal to the blowout where we put six in. And the biggest thing there is, besides the fact that, again, we're playing with what's essentially one of the better lineups that we have, is that the effort was there. Because that was something that was lacking a little bit a week ago. Was it, just the effort didn't always seem to be there, especially in relation to the fact that towards the end of the game last weekend, we were all noticing that like Malik and Leo kind of died off towards the end, and that was preventing us from getting a victory. What happened this week? They were basically on fire the whole time. And I don't know if, and the other thing too is, obviously we had the signing of Efreem Taku, and Efreem made a debut literally like right away, which in some ways wasn't that unexpected. We kind of figured, knowing how Neil has kind of outwitted our predictions every single time we've tried to make them when it comes to personnel choices.
Is he just picking against us at this point on purpose?
Yeah, right. We all figured that, nah, he might come in as a sub. And he starts, you know, it's like, go figure. But he comes in as a substitute again right away as a sub for Malik Johnson. And that was the important thing here as far as this game, is that we were able to keep up that pressure the whole time. Now, I'm still not a fan of Ginzotti in his attacking mid. I still hate that. But let's get into some of what worked, what wasn't, okay? Because there is a couple of things that are interesting as far as this game and this week. The big thing for me was the fact that, in all honesty, Tanari, while I love him so as an attacking mid, here's the thing. His numbers this past weekend were actually really bad. He only made, in the minutes that he played, which I believe were right around 60, he only made 21 pass attempts in his 60 minutes. That's it. He had one shot from distance. It was a good shot. We needed it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he scored. But he only made 21 pass attempts. The scary part about that is that was the second lowest on the team besides Tejada, which as a striker, you would expect that from a Tejada, but like, you know, Ginzotti having more. In fact, for that matter, he had 13 pass attempts in the first half total, which again is to emphasize the fact that he was invisible for stretches of that game. But here's the key. He had four, what the Opta folks would call key passes, which means that four of his passes that he made of the like 13 that he attempted in that first half generated shots. And that's the thing, is that he wasn't fortunate enough to get any assists on this week. But his creation through the middle did help quite a bit.
You know, I got a theory why his
was a subpar.
I got a theory why his stats might be so low. I don't think Malik left any other stats for any other one to have.
No, Malik did great.
Malik was fantastic. No, Malik, holy cow!
Malik was great. Malik was absolutely great. Three assists. An additional two key passes on top of that. Of the 33 that he attempted, he completed 27. So, and then of course the important stat that a lot of people like, he attempted to out-dribble opponents 15 times in that game and was successful on 12 of them, according to Opta. That is astronomical of how much he was just destroying the opposing defense one-on-one all night. That's absolutely just an astounding stat.
He brought the good boots.
Fact that he finished that off by capping it with three assists.
Oh.
I mean, what? So he's out-dribbling everybody over and over and over again and providing the key pass to get goals.
All right, we've got to come up with something here because three goals is a hat trick. What's three assists?
I don't know. Let's ask our patrons.
We'll just call them a leak. I like that. We'll call them a leak. I mean, yeah, it was incredible. I mean, we talked to her and we've talked before, and then they even mentioned, I remember I went back and listened to the broadcast afterwards. Drew Felios was talking to Ryan Davis about how he heard him on our show discussing the need for the early goal, the momentum, the confidence it brings. And even though it ends up getting credited as an own goal, I like the way that, that Mike wrote it up in three things on the Rowdy's website. We'll just call it a Tejada goal because that header was on target. We're gonna. The other thing you pointed out, talking, and we listed the two other games in which the Rowdies have scored six or more goals. That means that statistically, what happened Saturday night has happened about 0.01% of the time in all the Rowdies games over the last 10 years. So if you were there, you saw something that does not get seen very often. Although it happened in the first year, it happened.
2013,
so
14, something like that.
Well, it had to be 14 because it would have been when Rongen was in charge.
Yeah, it was 14.
Because it
something
was
like that,
and that was the opener at San Antonio Stadium, wasn't it?
No, it was a midseason game because it was like July. It might have been the fall opener, if that's what you're getting at.
Oh, okay,
maybe.
Okay. So
either way,
about every 4 or 5 years, we got a six goal win in us somewhere. And I remember thinking, you know, because right up until nearly halftime, for about 25 minutes, it's 2-0. And then, even then, you still got kind of in the back of your head, this isn't the best lead to have. You know, if they give up one right before halftime or right on the other side of halftime, all of a sudden it changes the outlook. It changes the mood of the players in the stadium. But very quickly before halftime, about 5 minutes apart, goals 3 and 4 go in, and it's over at that point. Someone pointed out to us, you know, it was a blowout. It's kind of boring. No, what happens in Ottawa is boring. This I'll take. This, for a person my age, this is good for my heart. This is like fiber and protein all wrapped up in one. I'll take this, and I'll take a 6-1 any day of the week. Like, we beat Bethlehem the way we should have beaten that Bethlehem team. So, you know, no disrespect to them, but that's a result. Like, I felt confident all day, and sometimes that's a bad thing, going into this, that we were going to win that game probably pretty comfortably, and it's exactly what happens. I do have a theory, though, why they played so well. Again, it's Bethlehem, but also, if you think about it, where Neil and where Pato were located, the team was trapped right between both of their steely glares. They had no choice but to succeed magnificently on the night, or things could go really bad for them. There's my tactical breakdown right there. But honestly, if you had both of those guys staring at you,
the steely stare,
you'd make sure you'd make sure you did your damn job also.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I'm considering if I have to take a day off sometime soon, I'm going to ask for the two of them to come in to be my substitute teachers and just stare.
So I'll say this, to bring it to a slightly more serious nature.
As
fun as it was to watch Malik crush, as fun as it was, you know, to see us put six in, there were two takeaways from that game that I posted up on Twitter over the weekend that I thought were arguably the more important factors in this game. And that was, first of all, Sean Barry. Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me right now? 44 of 49 passing with 9 defensive recoveries. That man was absolutely amazing as somebody that we haven't seen play basically a full 90 in forever.
Forever, yeah.
Holy crap, that came out of nowhere. And that's a remarkable thing to see and to be able to contribute the way that he did, because it was something else we talked about was with Morad tends to play a little deeper, and Barry, what we were noticing, was playing a little farther up, which meant that Malik was able to dribble and push the field up a little bit further on his side because he had more energy to do so because he wasn't having to track back as far all the time. Now, is that a question of whether that's something you should do on a permanent basis? I'm not going there. We could talk about that later when we preview Louisville. But in general, I would say that Barry was a fantastic. That was a great performance. Absolutely unexpected. And hats off to him, because I think he's a huge reason why we had the result that we had. The other takeaway that I had this weekend had to do with Ephraim Taku coming in. He had a tough game over the midweek, obviously having like 3 days of practice I think it's like one. While that was good, the run that he made to get his goal, coming in from the right-hand midfield spot and sliding in basically to right around between the penalty spot and the top of the box, right in the middle there, to be the person to do the drop-off from the end line, from that pass into the middle, him recognizing that run and going in there and finishing that play, if that's the type of run that he's going to make as a substitute on the right-hand side midfield slot, that is awesome, because that's the kind of awareness that we need to see players using when they're coming in off the bench against guys that are probably a bit more tired on the other side. They've got to be aware of things like that. And if Taku's willing to do that, then I think that you're going to see him score more than a couple of goals by the end of the year and into the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because the other thing that's important about that is that if he's going to be a substitute for Malik, that means we don't have to worry about a drop-off in performance because of being tired, because the amount of work that Malik does in a game is pretty astronomical. He might be able to put in a bit more work in the minutes that he's playing, and now Ephraim can come in. And if he's doing what he did, by all means, sign me up.
Yeah. Yeah, when the move was first rumored and then later when it was announced, there was a lot of, well, why are we going back and getting this guy? I think we know.
I think you know.
Right, I think we know.
Yeah.
Which is good because, I forget who I was talking to. It might have been when I was talking to one of the USL guys at halftime. We were talking about the fact that, you know, it's been, you know, the amount of work Malik does and has been doing over the last few games, it looked like he was getting a little bit tired later on in games. To have someone to spell him when needed, you know, him knowing that he can come off if he has to, you know, might give him a little bit of extra boost. And but honestly, for all that work he put in and then, you know, totally had his breath to talk to us after the game, I'm impressed by the kid. I keep talking about it. Neil took some gambles on some of these guys, and I've got the starting lineup from not from Saturday night, but from the last game, home game before it, in front of me. And you're looking at guys like Malik, guys like Tejada, Caleb, who you assume is going to be good, but you don't know a ton about him. Jordan Doherty in there as well too. Like the gambles in some senses that he made on some of these players, they've all paid off.
Yeah. It's all credit to Neil.
Yeah. We should say, Neil was watching the game from the press box, because as we found out when the lineups were announced, Neil was serving a one-game suspension for some comments he made to the officials. And we saw him, you know, kind of run onto the field at the end on Wednesday night versus Ottawa. And someone, I don't remember if it was at the bar on Saturday or if it was at the tailgate on Saturday, or the bar on Wednesday or the tailgate on Saturday, saying, "Yeah, I'm kind of surprised he got away with it and, you know, didn't get a card or something." And I think it's one of those things where I don't know what he said. I'm pretty sure the Canadian referees didn't know what he said because of his accent. But it might be one of those things where he's been caught on, you know, there was that gif we made. He was caught on TV berating the fourth official in one game.
Was Pittsburgh, right?
I think the so. This may have just been one of those, okay, you've been on camera too many times yelling at the referees. We got to do something about it. I don't know if it was the content of what he said or if it was the yet another confrontation. You know, deserved or not, the league is going to, put appearances before most everything else. And I suspect that may be where it is. But he's back this weekend, just like Pop Diakite will be back this weekend. Didn't go out of town for this suspension. I remember last time he had a yellow card suspension, he posted a picture. I don't know if it was from that time period or not, but, you know, in Times Square in New York this Saturday, he was on the sidelines watching from behind the goal with us. Is there a bad or ugly?
I would say if there's any bad at all, I'm going to put it on Tenari's performance, only because, like I said, there were stretches of the game where he didn't get involved at all. But that's a stretch, because considering that he still had four passes that created shots, what Opta considers a key pass. Considering that he had four of those in the first half, I mean, that's maybe calling Tenari's first 15 minutes in the second half bad. I don't know. I mean, that's about the most that I can do, because just about everybody else on the field was superb.
Yeah,
I mean, even Tenari himself wasn't that bad. It's just more or less people were doing better.
The offense was running through different directions. There was even one spot.
I'll say this. My good is Sean Barry. My man of the match, though, because everybody likes Malik, and Malik did everything great.
Team liked Malik. FotMob liked Malik.
FotMob, of course, FotMob likes Malik, because FotMob basically rewards anybody that gets assists and goals and pumps up their performance, even if they don't do anything else for the whole game.
I mean, that's how you win.
Well, I mean, one of the numbers that I actually liked was the performance that Leo put in for a man of the match type performance. Three key passes and two assists on top of that. So he created five goal scoring opportunities. Okay. He put in and attempted 53 passes on the night. That was the most on the team. Now, the completion percentage wasn't 100%. I mean, it was 39. But in the second half, he literally blew everybody away.
Right.
In his involvement in the second half. He went 19 for 28 passing in the second half. And as much as we wanted to talk about Malik and what Malik did, Leo's performance cannot be understated in that game, because his ability of keeping his performance, the way that he approached that game, meant that Bethlehem could not get settled on either side, because Malik, you can gang up on Malik if you don't have to worry about, in this case, your right-hand side. If Malik is the only threat on the left, then you can focus on him better if you're Bethlehem.
Mm-hmm.
Leo doing what he did, it's not just Sean Barry helping Malik. Leo helping just by being a monster and being heavily involved and successfully being involved also helps that game, because it doesn't allow the center defenders to sneak around at all. Because that's one of the things. A center defender is going to sneak and cheat to support their winger if the winger's getting beat. But in this case, they couldn't do that because the threat was equal on both sides. So Leo, I put him as a man of the match performance, because of the fact that he's not out dribbling people, we get it, but he still had two assists on the night.
Right.
You know?
My, and, My favorite Leo moment of the night, because I asked him, you know, he's got some history with the Union and with Bethlehem Steel, playing with them in the past, if he was still in contact with anyone. Turns out the Steel's head coach was his coach at Reading United and also at Bethlehem Steel during some times where he played games with them, saying, yeah, you know, it was really good to see him again. Sorry, but I'm not sorry about how it turned out.
Yeah,
that's my Leo moment.
Yeah, no, it wasn't too surprising to hear that he still has some connections over there. But yeah,
all right. And I want to go find it just to make a gif out of it, because from where I was watching it behind the goal, I can't remember. It was either I want to say it was second half. Poku has a moment where he runs onto a loose ball and he's coming from. Like right to left, if I'm looking down toward the Mahaffey end, he's coming at it from right to left, and he keeps moving to the left, but he just taps it with his right foot, and it goes like the opposite diagonal of him right onto, I want to say it was Tejada's feet, who had just beaten it. Didn't result in a goal, but it was a beautiful pass and a great little misdirection by him, everyone thinking he's going to take the ball with him as he goes left, and he just puts it pinpoint spot perfect for him. I mean, there was just a ton of little displays of skill going on. It was like watching like someone playing FIFA against somebody else, like someone who knows what they're doing versus someone picking it up for the first time, with leaving like the auto defender and auto shooting and auto switching and stuff on. It was just a good night. All right, so let's move on. Other notable results between Saturday, and because we're getting into that stretch where there's like games every day. There's games going on right now that are important.
Yes, there
too.
Is a very important game going on right now with a very important result at halftime.
With a halfway decent result so far. But over the weekend, St. Louis won 2-0 over Red Bull 2. Actually, I think that was like what? That was last Wednesday night when we played Ottawa, wasn't it?
I believe so. So, yeah, I think. Like
Birmingham with a 1-0 result over Indy. Louisville 5-3 on Saturday night against Red Bulls 2. Nashville dropping points. Nashville and Pittsburgh sharing the points 0-0. So it ended up coming out of the weekend, and it's going to be slightly different now. But when the weekend ended, Red Bulls, Indy 11, and Tampa Bay Rowdies were level on 56 points. Red Bull in top with the goal differential tiebreaker. Rowdies in third on the wins tiebreaker. Nashville just behind at 55 points. Pittsburgh was at 52 points, but they won, last night over Memphis, right?
1-0 on a
so
set-piece header.
They jumped up.
Which was like the only shot for almost the entire game. It was actually
sounds like a
bad
fun
game.
Pittsburgh clinched a playoff spot with that one goal and are sitting at 55 points right now. Louisville's in sixth with 50 points. We're going to go talk about them in a little bit. We're traveling up there this weekend. I mean, the team is. We're not, unfortunately. North Carolina in 7th with 47, Ottawa 8th with 45, St. Louis 9th with 41, and Birmingham hanging in there with 39 points, 1 point, but having 2 wins in hand over the next closest team in Charleston. Other results going on, I have on here Red Bull 2 playing Charleston. That's not tonight. Is that later on this week? That like tomorrow?
That's not tonight. Tonight. Yeah, I'd have to pull the drop down here real quick. That is Friday.
Okay. ATL2 right now playing Indy 11. ATL2 got on the board first. Indy evened it up about 20 minutes or so later. Is it in halftime or is it just coming? I think it's just coming out of halftime now.
It's just coming out of halftime now, yeah.
Still at 1-1, so this result would put Indy 11 on top of the league with 57 points, but only 1 point ahead of the Rowdies. And we talked about they still have those 2 games in hand. One of those they have to come here for. So if they can keep on this draw.
Anything less than a win tonight for Indy is you have to consider that drop points.
Yeah. Especially
there's no other way to put that. That's drop points. if they can't beat Atlanta too.
That's a poor result. And then Loudon is playing Nashville on the weekend, maybe holding some points. So while we talked about Indy and in Atlanta playing right now in an important game, in a completely meaningless game, Loudon, last time I checked, is leading Swope Park 2-1.
In a completely meaningless game.
It's utterly meaningless game. somehow, and only because of the lack of games played, somehow neither of those two have been eliminated yet. I suspect by the end of the weekend, both will be. Atlanta's got to be close to going out too. All right, we're gonna see this playoff lineup and solidify real quick.
Well, I mean, but we've been calling this for months now.
But I mean,
as far as the teams involved and the teams that aren't, I mean, you and I have basically called this for months.
Yeah.
Last night, we've got half the X's in place. Yeah. Last night was the final nail in the coffin, I think, for Memphis to have any chance of getting in, because they were riding a heck of a win streak there for a bit and kind of came out of nowhere as a bit of a surge in points. They're now down to an 8-point gap now between them and 10th place Birmingham.
Yeah, with the same number of games played. It's not happening.
That's not happening when there's only like 5 games left. It's a 4-game gap with 5 games left. You're not getting in. So that was the nail in the coffin for Memphis. So it really is now down to the whole St. Louis, Birmingham, Charleston equation of who's going to get in at the end.
Yeah, two of those teams are getting in. Who is it going to be? Birmingham's got the tiebreaker on a big edge in the first tiebreaker too on Charleston right now. They both played 29 games. Birmingham with 11 wins, Charleston with 9 wins, which is important because Birmingham's got a goal differential that's twice as bad as Charleston at -5 to -10. Here's the other thing: two of those teams are getting in. We're going to have at least one team with a negative goal differential in the playoffs this year.
Probably.
I don't think for very long, but we're going to have one.
Yep. That's true.
All right.
That'll happen, especially when you have more than half the conference get in.
Right.
You know, that's going to happen probably. The bigger takeaway is the fact that the difference between first place and sixth place right now is a whopping 6 points.
Yeah.
4 games left to play for most of those teams, and there's basically only a 2-game gap. That means that right now the Eastern Conference final top 4 positions is wide open.
Yep.
It's wide open.
From first to sixth is the same difference as from seventh to ninth right now.
Yeah. So when you look at that, there is, again, as Rowdies fans, we're happy that the team just made the playoffs this year. Okay. That was a goal for us at the beginning of the year. That's great. Don't go this far, this long, and drop it right at the end, because that's now going to be the next big question here. Is can we keep this going into the playoffs? Can we finish in a top 4? Hypothetically, before the Indy game finishes, I mean, assuming that, if tonight it beats them, now it's just a game in hand that they have, and we're all tied on points. So, you know, we're looking at the fact that it's like we're realistically this close from actually really competing for a top place finish. We're so close. At this point, when you get this far, don't blow it. Don't blow it at the end. Let's actually finish this on a strong note and finish in top 4. Let's guarantee ourselves a home game for the playoffs.
Can I stir the pot for a second?
Sure, stirring is fun. That's what we do.
All right, there's an article on USL website. One of their writers, John Arlia, put out there predicting or projecting the playoff order with 4 weeks to go or 4 games to go.
Okay.
Now we said what? There's 4 games left. I think I said I expect about 8 points, 2 wins, 2 draws from that. He goes there.
You did 6-1-1 for the final 8 games of the season.
All right, but
I predicted 4-2-2
for the final 4. I'm going to say 2 wins, 2 draws.
Okay.
I think we draw. I think we draw Louisville. I think we probably draw Indy. I think we win Loudon. I think we win Hartford.
Okay.
That's 64 points, which in my mind is probably good enough for a top 4 spot. Now, he also projects us out at 64 points. Good enough for fifth.
Oh, my gosh.
So, here's his predictions.
That's awesome.
Nobody's
losing for the rest of the year. That's the prediction, I guess.
Here's the prediction. Indy finishing, they're currently 17-6-5, not counting what's going on right now, projects them to finish with 21-7-6, 4 wins, 1 loss, 1 draw, for a total, a nice total of 69 points. Red Bull 2, currently 17-8-5, predicts them to go 28-6, so 3 wins and a draw in there for 66 points. Second place, Nashville SC, currently 16-7-7, projects them to go 19-7-8, so another 3-0-1 for 65 points. Pittsburgh Riverhounds, and this didn't include last night's game, so now we would be 15-4-10, has them finishing 18-5-11. So, what, 3 wins, 1 draw, 1 loss, 65 points. The Rowdies, 16-6-8, 64 points, predicts 2 wins, 2 draws, like I said. Louisville in 6th. And really, the top five is only, I think, the possible controversial points. If we get 64 points, I think we're top four. I really do. Some of these projections above us, I don't see it happening. But to wrap out the top ten, he's got Louisville, North Carolina, Ottawa, St. Louis, and Birmingham.
Well, the big thing there is that on his article, he's predicting Nashville, I think, punching far above their weight.
Yeah.
Because they would have to, I think, what, that's like an undefeated run at the end of the year to get to the points that he just predicted there.
Yeah, I mean, he's got, you know, basically that's, everybody winning three games, everybody above us winning three of their last handful of games and us only getting 2 wins.
Yeah, no, come on. Nashville's not doing that. Nashville, honestly, Nashville's they're the fifth place team. That's, if you look at points per game right now, that's where they are on the points per game table. I think there's a reason why they show up there on points per game is because I think that's realistically more or less where they're going to finish.
Right. Yeah.
And I think especially right now, the reason for that more than anything else is because I think Pittsburgh is going to end up overcoming them to get into the top four.
I could see that. So you think we're going to go in there at four, most likely three if we're lucky?
I'm going to say three. I think Pittsburgh will finish in fourth. I think Indy will probably end up finishing the year in first. And I think Red Bulls too. But again, at this point, it's a coin flip.
Yeah.
When you literally have 1 point in separate, 1 point of separation between 1 through 5, it's a coin flip at this point. Like literally, it's just a coin flip. So I still think Pittsburgh will end up overcoming Nashville. I think that's something that will come to pass. Pittsburgh, by the way, is on a crazy run right now of games where they have not allowed a goal. I think last night's game is like the fifth straight shutout or something like insane.
They've gone full Lily.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's Pittsburgh. I mean, that was one of the predictions from the beginning of the year when they had that slow start. It's like, guys, they're going to be fine. Nobody should be worried about Pittsburgh. They'll be in. It'll be okay. Yeah,
they're going to have some runs. They're going to have some, like, you know, starts and stops, some fits, but they're going to finish.
Yeah. I mean, it's, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they've gone 6 straight games without allowing a single goal.
That's insane.
Yeah. Yeah, Pittsburgh is absolutely a team that's just grinding results. Now, granted, of those 6 games, there's 2 nil-nil draws. And yes, I said nil-nil, so you're welcome, Ryan. And
so 2 Sudals, we'll just call those Sudals. If three assists is a Malik,
yeah, there you go.
A nil-nil is a Sudal.
There you go. There have been 2 Sudals and 3 1-0 victories in those 5 games. 6 games, sorry. They're grinding results out the way that Bob Lilly has his teams grind out results. But I think that's a team that is on fire, and that's a team that's going to end up making it in. But
They're Nicholas Turturro in Rounders.
The other team that's on fire right now, I hate to say it, but the other buzzsaw in the league is Louisville.
Yeah.
And we're about to come into that buzzsaw.
3 wins, 2 draws in their last 5. All right, so real quick, let's run through the points per game table, and we'll get to our preview. There wasn't a ton of news going on this week, so we spent some more time on our reviews and our playoff predictions, which is fine. Indy leading the points per game table, like by a tenth of a point, not factoring in the current situation, but have played 28 games with 56 points. They're on an even 2. Per game. Pittsburgh, 1.9, 29 and 55 points. Rowdies and Red Bulls tied, 1.87, 30 games played, 56 points apiece. Nashville, 30 and 55 for 1.83. Louisville, 29 and 50 at 1.72. North Carolina, and this is where you start to see the drop off a little bit. North Carolina at 30 and 47 for a 1.57 points per game. Ottawa with a 1.55, St. Louis 1.41, Birmingham 1.34. In the points per game, Charleston, just like in the regular, I think now we've got it matched up, right? We've got the points per game in the regular table are matched up. Charleston's just on the outside with 1.31. Memphis is way back there at 1.07. Bethlehem 1.03. Atlanta 2.93. Loudon 0.09. Charlotte, who is already eliminated with a 0.87. Swope 0.79, and Hartford also eliminated at 0.73. Again, it's going to come down to St. Louis, Birmingham, Charleston. Two of those last three will get the ninth and tenth spots and hit the road for the play-in games. Nothing really major in terms of news in the league or the team this week. Congratulations to Malik Johnson being named in Team of the Week. You could, in my opinion, probably put a couple more guys in there, but Malik probably stands out as most deserving. Let's talk about Louisville. What's Louisville look like, Stephen?
Let's talk about Louisville. Okay, so overall they're 14, 7-8. They have gone 9-3-3 at home. Now, we always usually say the last 5 games, right? It's been pretty consistent. This is a team that has not lost a game since July. Their last loss was a 3-0 defeat that had a red card involved against Louisville on July 28th. They have gone since then 8 games unbeaten. Of the 8, they're 6 wins and 2 draws.
Good time for that
going
to change
into
then.
This game. Say what?
Good time to change all that then.
Yeah, right. So, no, this is a team that is absolutely positively just on fire right now. So let's look at some of the individual standouts. Magnus Rasmussen has 10 goals on the year. So they've obviously – now, granted, there's some reasons why their goal-scoring numbers are a little low, but I'll get into that. Luke Spencer has 7, and Abdu Baki Tiam has 3. Assists, Oscar Jimenez has 5 assists by himself. There are 5 players tied with 2 assists each. Shots, just your leading goal scorer, Rasmussen, has 53 shots on the year. Your second leading goal scorer with Spencer has 36 shots on the year. And then Devin Williams has 24 shots on the year.
I didn't know Speedy was still around.
Say what?
I didn't know Speedy was still around, but there he is.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Surprise. Chances created. Jimenez is their leading chance creator, which also makes sense. He's the leading assist guy. He's got 84 chances created. Neal McCabe has 51 chances created. And then Spencer and Rasmussen both have 26 as well. Clean sheets. They've had 8 on the year. Goalkeepers Hubbard and Loon both have 4 each. Overall, though, they are conceding about 1.2 goals a game. Obviously, a lot of that happened before the last 8, so it kind of gives you an idea of just how weighted that number is, in fact, towards the beginning of the season. Their possession numbers, they average about 57% possession a game, and they go about every 57 minutes, it's 57.3 minutes per goal scored in between. So, of their, some of the more...
Hey, wait, let me hop in real quick.
What's up? Breaking news?
Atlanta United 2-2, Indy 11-1.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
Shout out to Ian from the Skyway Casuals for texting me the info, and also to the Indy 11 South End Twitter handle for putting a bunch of red-faced emojis out there to confirm it.
Yes, there it is, 63rd minute. All right. At the very end of this, they've had 4 goals from direct free kicks, 7 goals total from outside the box. On the disciplinary report for this game, Paco Craig is one for Louisville's one game away from a suspension. And, of course, our own Dominic Adoro is back on currently yellow card accumulation suspension warning, one away. So, which makes sense. He's the bruiser of the team, so I'm okay with that.
Goal, by the way, by Andrew Carlton. Does it again. The man who sent us to the playoffs is keeping Indy in touching distance.
Now, the big thing about Louisville. Louisville had a terrible start to the year. There's no question about it. But that seems to kind of be a bit of a trend with them. They usually always end the season on a high note, which is what carries them into playoffs, which is why they have 2 championships at this level. That's something kind of scary for the Rowdies. Now, let's explain and figure out what has changed. Why is this team so much better? Well, here's the thing. The Rowdies played them to a 1-1 draw at Al Lang on April 13th. Here's the crazy part. Of the 11 starting players on the field for Louisville, compared that to the 11 starting players that crushed the New York Red Bulls over the weekend, there have been 7 changes to that starting 11 since the beginning of the year when we played them in April. The only 4 players that started this weekend compared to April were Jimenez, Craig, Rasmussen, and McCabe. And then 1 player came off the bench, Matt Soso. He was a starter this past weekend. That is an absolutely crazy turnover of players that Hackworth has been willing to make to his team to get them into a fighting position. To be able to completely transform your starting 11 and then still end up in a playoff spot at the end. And especially on the kind of run that he has had. So obviously there's been a couple of funny changes. Our own, of course, of the 11 players that played against Louisville, 2 of those players haven't played much. Obviously, Ekra has been hurt, and of course, we traded away Hoppenot. The other funny part about that is that we have Lucky, and Lucky was a starter against us in April. So now we have opposing starters. Lucky and Hoppenot are now playing for the other teams, 5 months later, something like that. So that's kind of a funny stat to think about, but what was Louisville doing so well this weekend that allowed them to absolutely destroy New York? Because obviously if they can beat New York 5-3, they can beat anybody in this league by multiple goals. Here's the kicker. They had a lot of success passing from the right-hand side of the field to people that are following up on the left-hand side of the field. The majority of their goals and their key passes in general that created shots almost universally, I think all but 1 of the 12 or something like that, was a pass from the right that went to the left. Oh, we need to absolutely jump in here for breaking news.
We have a 3-1 score.
It is a
Loudon is leading Swope Park 3-1.
I love fooling the listeners.
I had you going for a second there.
Oh, no. Because I got the score live right here in front of me. So, the big reason why New York got beat the way that they did is they played a 4-1-4-1 formation, and their defensive midfielder pushed way up the field. There was a massive gap. When you look at the average positioning of the player, there was a massive gap between the back line and the defensive mid, and Louisville exploited that gap relentlessly the whole game. And you see that in the amount of passes, completed passes from that part of the field, right in front of the 18-yard box, that area of the field, they had a lot of completed passes that came out of that area. And that has to do with the fact that New York did not position themselves correctly. If I'm the Rowdies, that's a key point that we need to do against Louisville to prevent the kind of goal outburst that they had. Aduro needs to be on his game. You could almost make an argument that maybe this is a type of game that Doherty should play in because of the type of performances that Louisville has been putting in offensively and the fact that that was where they were getting their success. Playing a more defensive-minded player in Doherty might not be such a bad idea here to really kind of take the wind out of the sails a little bit of the Louisville attack coming out of this weekend. It's a thought. The big thing about the Rowdies' performance against Louisville earlier in the year, and I don't want to harp on it too much because, again, the whole starting team for Louisville is different than what we played in April. We did not connect passes in the from the middle of the field at all. I mean, you could almost, again, that was one of the games where you could draw lines from the 18-yard box to the midfield, and, like, no completed passes came out of that entire area of the field the entire night. That's going to be something that we're going to need to be better. And I think as far as this game is concerned, knowing Hackworth, he's obviously going to be looking at all of that too. That's going to be where they're going to focus defensively as well, because they might try and play a little deeper with their defensive midfielder. They might try and make a point of playing a little deeper to try and keep that advantage, because that's what kind of knocked us off in the first game. So I think that's kind of my little warm-up, my little prediction for the game as far as tactically speaking. Like I said, it's we have to play a bit conservative on defense, because Louisville absolutely found a way to find space against New York. And if, like I said, if they can do it to them, they can do it to anybody. But I think that's going to be the key to the game, is basically our defensive midfielders.
Yeah, and Louisville's really in a position now where they want to try and get results and get a spot in the table. Because, I mean, they've got, and I was listening to steal some time a little bit before I came on, before we started tonight, they've still got like something like 13, 14, 15 guys who have won back-to-back USL championships the last 2 years. This year hasn't gotten off the way they wanted to, but they're currently sitting right now. Where were they again? They were what? Let's see. They're currently sitting in sixth, which is kind of that no man land of spots. Yeah, they've won back to back USL titles, but they haven't had to go on the road for a single playoff game in that stretch. Everything was hosted at Slugger Field in Louisville. Sitting in fifth, this changes it up. I mean, because let's not beat around it. I mean, there is a distinct advantage, or at least disadvantage, to away teams in Slugger Field based on the condition of the surface, based on the size of the field, based on the familiarity Louisville has with the quirks that Slugger Field has. Works for them and tends to work against other people. If you put Louisville on the road in the playoffs, I don't think they get to the conference final, to be honest.
Well, it's worth noting that this is the worst season that Louisville has had since they started.
Yeah.
I mean, it's flat out the worst season. They're still in a playoff position, but I think this season has definitely tested those guys, those players that have been on the team for a couple of years now. It has tested them in ways that they have not been tested yet this year. So that's going to be one of the interesting things about how this goes for them coming down the stretch, is that despite the fact that they had such a really bad start, and again, they've changed the whole starting 11, like it's totally different than what they started the year with.
Right, right.
I think even regardless of beating us this weekend or how long they keep their undefeated streak going, I think that's still going to be one of the hardest games in the playoff, which is why I would tend to think let's not finish in third.
Yeah.
Because we'd be hosting them. And if the season ended and we were in third place, and I think that's kind of scary.
Yeah. It's a tough out either way.
That can do it.
Yeah, because that's a team that once, and you kind of think once they get to the playoffs, they know what it's like, and they've got more than one or two guys there that know what it's like.
And it's not like they and let's not forget, it's not like this is a team that coasts through all of these playoff runs. They're beating like New York Red Bulls, you know, like basically if New York isn't winning the USL championship, usually it's been Louisville the last couple of years. And that's one of the things that's kind of scary is the fact that they've been able to do it a couple years in a row now. So I guess I'm a little scared. I'm a little worried about Louisville in the playoffs, regardless of the finishing position.
Yeah. Prediction?
For this weekend. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. This is tough because I want to be pessimistic. Like, I want to be really pessimistic.
That's a lifestyle choice. I'm just telling you.
Say what?
That's a lifestyle choice at that point.
Well, this is true. I think Louisville continues their streak. I think it's 2-1, but it's really a close game. Louisville, that is.
I'm going to go 2-2. I said we're going to get a draw here, and it's going to be a 2-2 draw.
And
Lucky with a goal and an assist against his former team for his former team.
And Hoppino with a goal, because that's what that seems to be the trend.
Yeah, Hoppino and Luke Spencer, we'll say that. all right, so let's wrap this up. We love you. Who do you got?
Oh, God. You know what's funny about that is I didn't even that's the one thing that I didn't write down a we love you for the week.
I usually do it like while we're doing the show because I don't want to think about it. I just want to like think about it, and then the first thing that pops in my head, like it's there for a reason, and that's what I go with.
Well, then how about you start, and then I'll pick a name after that.
I'm going to go with it's been kind of one of my goals the last several years is to meet up with someone that I've only known from Twitter and have a beer. And I really was starting to think that it wasn't going to happen this year. I haven't really met too many new people, but I keep name dropping them on the show a lot. Maybe one day they'll return the favor. The Steal Some Time crew were out at the Rowdies game on Saturday, and I got a chance to go over at halftime and have a cerveza with Scott Stewart. I believe it's one of those teams in that area either worked for Indy or worked for Louisville in the past. Now works for the league in terms of communications and is now a big, big Rowdies fan. And we spent halftime telling each other how great next year was going to be with the stadium changes, how great the postseason is going to be once we finish in the top four and are hosting games here. And so it was cool. He's going to be out there again. I'll maybe get a chance to all meet up with him on the last regular season game, the Indy game. But it was cool. And I got to cross that off my list as well. Now you.
Well, I'm going to chicken out and I'm going to do something lame, sort of, in a dismissive kind of way. My we love you because we started the show this way. I'm going to end the show this way. Our patrons. We do appreciate it. We love every one of you. Thank you very much for the dedication that you guys had for supporting the show. Obviously, I'm still new to this. I'm still going to call myself new to this for the next 2 years, but Matt, obviously being the veteran, it means a lot to him. And so I will say that thank you very much. We do love you for every time, every month that a little bit of donation comes out. We appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Definitely. Anything that that means I have to spend less on a teacher's salary, I definitely appreciate it. And it's just nice to know. And you know what we should have done? Don't know their names, but the two people that stopped us on Saturday night and said,
yes.
Hey, I recognize your voice. Big fan of the show. Like,
are
literally.
You guys the podcast guys?
So while I'm over in the beer tent at midfield at halftime having a drink, waiting for Scott to get his beer and come over, guy in line looks out and says, hey, man, big fan of the show. Listen to you guys every week. And while I'm telling you about this after the game, someone else comes up and says, "Hey, I recognize your voices." And you know,
yeah, that was fun.
Going from someone who was definitely younger than probably even you, because you're a child, to someone who was definitely older and apparently much more educated than either of us, maybe even combined. Like we've got the demographics out there.
We got to market study this stuff and start
selling ads or something because we've got some reach.
It was totally unexpected and totally cool to be like, hey guys, are you guys the podcast guys? You guys are awesome. Like
just as you were saying, like, wait, this really happens? Thanks. Then it happened.
Yeah. Like, it was great. You and I were talking about something podcast related, and then all of a sudden they were like, oh, wait a minute, I know your voices. And I'm like,
and that's the stuff that, like, I drive, you know, 45 minutes back home. Had to stop at Wawa anytime we had a big win over Bethlehem. Honestly, anytime we win in general, mostly because it's the one place that's right in my way and won't mess up a late-night food order like McDonald's will. Stop and get a sub on the way in. And then I got home, and I'm like, all right, I got some energy now. I got some adrenaline because, you know, I got some shout-outs in person. Let me start figuring some stuff out and sort of kind of put some of those ideas into motion. But yeah, all of you people, we love you. Thank you to Wolfface, to Radio St. Pete, and to our friends at the Shamrock Pub. Thank you to you guys, like we said, for continuing to find time in your schedule to listen. Please continue to share, subscribe, rate, and review to put us out there in front of other people who may be demented enough to want to listen on a regular basis. If you'd like to support the show on an ongoing basis, you can go to patreon.com/unusedsubspod. We have updated the perks. We've removed some of the things, like there's no more making Dan do things because Dan's not doing this anymore, and that would be kind of weird. There'll be more coming. We've got the off season survey we're working on. Some things we're working on for the show, for the site, for the bench, for everything else. We've got some other ideas we're gonna toss around and hash out between the brain trust and then reveal more at a later date. But go check it out. We appreciate it. Thank you to our sponsor, Roughneck Scarves, the official scarf supplier of MLS, USL, and U.S. Soccer. Get custom scarves for your group or team at roughneckscarves.com. Steven, this has been a fun episode.
It's been a great episode.
I think I know the title, too, already. Squid GoPro.
There you go.
That's what it is?
I love it.
All right, we will talk to you guys next week. I know 80th minute, Atlanta 2 still leading 2-1.
Atlanta's still leading, so I almost want to stay on the show just long enough just to like stare at each other and see if that score goes final.
No, because we're going to jinx it if we do that. I think I've jinxed it already by even talking about it. Let's get done and get out of here. Yeah, we're not doing this all the way till 9:30. That'd be crazy.
Yeah, no.
If it was like a top four clincher, then yeah, we'd do it.
Yeah, right.
All right, we'll talk to you guys next week. We'll see you guys soon at Al Lang. Thank you guys for listening. This has been the Unused Substitutes, and we're out of here.
Go Rowdies. The Rowdies were there, the Rowdies were there, they get along.